All right, everybody, it's 8:32. Let's pray a little bit to get started, and then we'll jump in. I want to respect you guys' time this morning, and I know some of you are tag teaming. I'm only going to be here for just a little bit because we've got a I'll explain that more in just a little bit. Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for these wonderful people who it's just a blessing to see them, even if it's on the screen. It's also a blessing to be in community together, and I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a local church body. I thank you for the way you're challenging us even now in this season about what that even looks like, what it means to be the church. And the prayer is each of us as leaders are asking that question in our own spaces and our own roles, so that you would lead us to those answers, that we would love people well. I think certain things are timeless. They're from you. The opportunity to love, the opportunity to pray, the opportunity to be a part of one another's lives in meaningful ways is still present. And pray for your protection on our community, wisdom as we make decisions. Pray that you would bless each of us with loving relationships and the opportunity to engage them well, even in this time, even as we're limited somewhat. Pray for this morning as Rick speaks, that you would teach us from your word. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So thanks for joining us today. I don't know if it'll take us the full time to get through our agenda for today or not, but I'm going to try and front load all my items on the front end. So it feels like I'm monologuing a little bit. It's just because I had pre-committed to serving at the service this morning, and I'm supposed to report at 9. So got that going for us. As a first update, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing for our Sunday service at the moment. We have had this fairly significant internal debate as an elder and minister team about what are we doing in this season as a church? Where do we prioritize our time and our energy and our resources? We have our Sunday live stream. We've tried other things, other rhythms throughout the course of the week, but we're certainly facing a disruption of the way we had normally done life and community. And we're wrestling with trying to figure out what place does the Sunday morning service potentially, or Sunday morning live stream, have in our community right now. One element that seems pretty key, pretty consistent still, is the pastoral teaching component is still present in that space primarily. We're not pushing that out to our home groups. We have the gospel, we have conversation, we have relationships, we have formation, some of those things happening in home group and discipleship group spaces, but the pastor's teaching is still primarily Sunday. As we've been wrestling with reopening, the major question from a safety standpoint has been twofold. One is the number of people that we can get in the auditorium space, which to our best estimates on social distancing is probably 50 to 75, depending on the composite of families versus singles and all that sort of thing in the auditorium space. Which means that the bulk of our community is still going to be connecting with us for that particular worship service on a live stream basis in perpetuity, as we can potentially cycle people through. And so we've been wrestling with how much energy do we invest there? We're looking at, you know, case numbers in the U.S., record highs. Michigan, thankfully, is in a better spot, but it's hard to imagine that's not going to still go up, continue to follow that national trend. And so we had decided maybe 3-4 weeks back that we would, in the middle of July here, do a couple of practice services, maybe is the best way to say it, that we would try to bring in some staff and deacons to try to test protocols and make sure that we could operate a very small in-person service safely. And so right now we're running practices starting today in the audit itself. So you'll notice some differences on the live stream. We haven't yet resolved what we're going to do after these practice sessions. U of M is still looking to meet on a hybrid basis with the possibility for in-present students. We still want to be ready to be able to host services should the opportunity arise. We're just not sure if that's going to be the primary way we're going to be able to communicate with people, and doesn't look like it. So we're doing that this morning. I just wanted to pass that along to you guys. Expectation wise, if we ever do get to the point where we're reopening, it's going to look different. There'll be social distance markers, masks. We won't be singing in the auditorium space more than likely. Have to register ahead of time, have reserved seats. So we're going to practice all that starting today and see how that goes. But just wanted to set your expectations that we're trying to be ready to be able to do that, but we're just not certain if that's the right direction to take the church yet. So any questions on any of that? You probably just need to unmute yourself and speak, because I'm on my phone in the church parking lot at the moment, so I can't see all of you simultaneously.
None of what Joel shared isn't information that you can't share with your group, or as questions come up from them about what they experience on Sunday mornings, feel free to pass that along to them.
Hey, Joel, I've got a question.
Go ahead, Russell.
Has there been any difficult conversations on how to treat people if they don't register or come to church and refuse to wear masks? I know that churches participating in religious events have been a big vector for spreading coronavirus, people who aren't listening to their state and federal guidelines. And we've got a number of people in, I don't know about New Life specifically, but in the church who are not on the same page, but we still want to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the front end, if we reopen with that plan, we'd be asking everybody to follow certain protocols ahead of time. And then we'd have one of our pastors assigned on site. And if anybody is for some reason not able to do that, we would politely ask them not to attend. So that's the game plan presently. Hopefully our pastors have enough relational capital that it's a conversation rather than anything else.
Stevie G, you've got a question?
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Joel. I was wondering, some families or some folks have been particularly stronger about being eager to return to an on-site. And right now we're starting with some staff and deacons, small numbers. I can anticipate some people wondering and asking, you know, if they could be in the initial pilot, the initial launch. Are you guys open to discussing that at all, or is it pretty rigidly locked at, you know, deacons and some staff at this point? Are you open to engaging some other families on attending?
I'll jump in on this. We're pretty rigid, and it's mostly just based on fairness. You got to have a line somewhere, and it's easy to say staff and deacon, deaconess, and then any of those who want to can. Once you go beyond that and you start picking and choosing, you can get into it can just create a lot more tensions that aren't even needed. So,
sure. Well, so I was wondering, I mean, in terms of timeline to start opening to, you know, some others who are not staff and deacons, like, you know, our family's probably in the case where we would start attending, but I don't have this urgent need. And so I would easily make a path, so to speak, to allow others to attend. Do you know if there's, you know, a certain number, 20, 50 folks who are just super, super eager, want to get back as soon as possible? And what kind of timeline could we possibly throw out there for when we might be able to reopen?
Nope. As far as like, can we throw a timeline? We can't. I mean, everything's changing week by week. So we're going to step into the practice rounds and actually see how those go. Because we're going to figure out, we'll probably learn a lot just from that. You take a small number of people and you change a few things. Like right now, we have cameras literally set up in the middle of the auditorium, like right over top of seats. And we've been able to take our stage and shoot it in different angles so that it kind of divides and almost use one stage as multiple stages for the online. If we have everyone back in the odd, that we probably need, that's one of the things we have to even change. It's like, how do we shoot the service for the online, like moving things? We may not be able to do multiple angles on the stage as far as like different, trying to divide it into two stages. And by doing all those things, we're going to learn that. And then also the PPE, like all the cleanliness and other things, like, do we have good systems? Is that, is all the things we've written on paper actually going to work? And once we get into that, we may need to adjust, and we may learn that this is, our building's complicated for it, or what we have is good. It just means we're going to have to stay in a certain number. So once we get through and we know that the plans that have been drawn up from the team that's creating the PPE and everything, protocols, if that all works, then we can think about what would it look like to create a timeline to actually move from what we have to trying to open and have a in-person gathering again, like a regular service. And then the thing that would factor into that is just what's happening in the world. What are the guidelines? Are we trending still in the right way, or are things taking a dive? So to say anything or promise anything, I think would just be premature at this point.
And we've tried to hold off on sending surveys and things out to the church beyond that initial interest survey that we had done, trying not to get people's hopes up on something we don't have any sense is going to happen yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some data from that initial survey to have a sense of how many people might be in each, as you phrased it, Steve, I think eager, you know, I think we have some numbers for that, but at this stage, we don't want to get people's hopes up that we have any certainty that we're going to move in that direction or not.
Can you guys talk a little bit more about the no worship thing? Are we even today or moving forward, like nowhere, if we're practicing with people in this auditorium, you're saying no worship or no singing. How is that going to affect kind of people's worship experience? It just sounds a little intimidating or discouraging to say no worship in perpetuity, kind of how you're talking about. We're going to try to have people there, but having no worship sounds rough on the face value.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the practice side, I think we've essentially got 2 weeks that we're looking at doing here. And then reevaluating, and we're asking ourselves that same question. I mean, it was the major worship through singing was one of the major contention conversations that we had, just because it's such an important part of most of our personal experiences in the church community. So I don't beyond these 2 weeks, I don't really know what that live stream is going to look like. Yeah, I don't even know what it's going to look like today, to be honest, personally, because I'm not involved in the programming. So so we're trying to evaluate that, and I think hold everything up in the air if you know, it depends a lot on how it goes the next two Sundays.
Yeah, and it's, just to be clear, the worship, I mean, worship is a lot of things, so it's the singing in person together live in one space that was the concern. And I think the things that I had heard is there are options that could be experimented with, where if you're on the online experience, you probably won't even notice a difference. You would still get the live worship. It's just in person. You may also get, it may be different, or they may not ask you to like sing. There, I think someone said humming. Most of the things that I heard, I was like, well, it doesn't sound great. I'll be honest. I like worship in person, singing together. I think there's power in that. I will say a couple weeks ago when I spoke, I got to be in the auditorium, and because I was on stage, I was on stage, and I, for whatever reason, chose not to sing in the moment and just like listen and just be a part of the experience. And so the worship leaders were there, but just hearing and being a part of a room with instruments and feeling it in your body. And I mean, it was amazing compared to online. So I think there's still wins in it. I would say it is, most of this just sounds crazy to me at this point. The world is crazy. And I think setting our own expectations that we may experience a lot of trial and error and different things in the church for a while, which we've been experiencing since March, is probably just going to be pretty standard right now. Our desire would be able to have worship as we used to. Long term, I just don't know how quick we can get there in a way that's not necessarily safe, but wise, and, you know, not doing the things that the reports are telling us we shouldn't be doing yet.
And Jay, am I assuming that's because, you know, I'm not studying church writings and church documentation and all the data coming out. But I'm assuming that's because, again, deep guttural singing throws a lot of volume, potentially throws a lot of virus in the air. And even though you're social distanced, it's enough people in an area that there's added risk to pass the virus. Is that kind of the science behind what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's the science. The singing exhalation, it projects way further. So your 6 foot distancing kind of goes out the window as soon as you start singing. And then they talk about also, what is it? The air, you know, circulation, are you withdrawing? You know, that's why hospitals do like the low pressure system. Like they're sucking all the air out. So at least that's an option, but no church is set up for that. So.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, in light of that too, are you guys considering any, you know, changes to the HVAC system, you know, at church to perhaps, you know, put something that would filter and kill viral particles in the HVAC system? That wouldn't help with the worship piece, but it would help with circulating air.
I actually did get a quote on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just haven't shared it with the board yet.
Okay. It probably sounds that just the way you said that sounds terrifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it can't be cheap on a commercial level the size of our
building. The problem is we have nine furnaces in the building.
Oh geez. Okay.
Yeah. So I will say this, just so you all know, like we have talked this at length in multiple spaces, like with the EMT, we've talked it with like the advisory team that's helping put together all the directives and protocols on this. I mean, one of the craziest things that came up about this, just to say, could we actually make this happen? Was they were trying to figure out how could we wall off the entire stage. So like you could have worship, like the band could be live in here and maybe the audience. I was like, I don't know what that does, but that creates a crazy, you know, like now we have this barrier between us. It was basically like the band cage, the drum cage. Could we make it for the whole stage? I was like, this is crazy. So we're not doing that, by the way.
But I think that goes to help typify and let you know how hard the team has been working to figure out every scenario for keeping people safe and trying to create in-person gatherings again. No idea or system has been off the table, and they've put just hundreds of hours into trying to get us back in the building safely. There's no wall though.
Good question, Steve.
Yeah, let me jump topics here. I'm able to field more questions offline, so feel free to send those my way if you want, or Jay as well. I just volunteered him. I'm gonna switch topics just a little bit. We about three weeks ago or so did a serving opportunity with a local church, Christian Love Fellowship. They do every fourth Saturday food distribution out of their church parking lot for their local community. So we had found them through Gerald Vasquez is friends with this pastor who's also a therapist in the school system, been working with teens for a long time, and a bivocational pastor. So they've been doing this. They have a food pantry. They've been distributing food for quite some time. They've been doing this. We asked if they could use some help, and they said, yeah, that person power would be great. And so we had a small team come to system last time. It was an excellent experience, just fantastic. I mean, they were super friendly. We really did. Sometimes you go on a serving opportunity and you're like, oh, I lifted something for a little bit, or this was, we're definitely working for a chunk of time, but got a chance to distribute a ton of food. That's coming up again in a couple of Saturdays. And we feel like we totally want to do that again. So I wanted to pass that along to you guys. At first, I just piloted it with just a few people. Nick and I just made a couple of hand invitations just to check it out, make sure we had a sense for how it was going to work. Now that we've done it, I'd highly recommend it. I think it's a viable serving opportunity for families. The church is almost entirely Black, so we have this. I think awesome combination and the opportunity to meet people from a portion of the city of Ypsilanti that we don't have a lot of reach into presently. just to serve together and love people together well. So that's going to be on the 25th. I will send something out via email. I haven't decided to what list yet because we don't need an armada of people, but maybe a dozen or something along those lines. So I want it. Any questions on that at all?
Great. Joel, I have a quick question on that.
Kevin, go ahead.
Would that be open to families, or is that just an adult thing? You said you don't want an armada, and if I sign my family up, there's half your slots almost. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it would be.
It is. Yeah.
Last time Jacob was there.
Joey.
Joey was there. I think that was perfect. Yeah, I think it's an option. Sure. I just needed to decide like how to get the right amount of people. Like if we have too much interest, do we sign up for the following? I don't know if they would care if we had too much, but there again is the health component of how many people do you have in that and same space. There's kind of two worlds that experience exists in. One is the outside space. You know, imagine a large food truck gatherer's truck delivering like 6 or 7. You know, pallets with, I don't know, 8 tons of food, literal tons of food, unloading that, sorting it out. And then the inside, it's giant fellowship hall. We set it all on tables so we can sort it all in bags so we can get it back outside. So when the cars come through from like 10:30 to noon or something like that in this big driveway circle, praying for them, putting food in their car, that sort of thing. So, I'll have to check with Harold and see how many people they really want, ideally with this time. But kids would be welcome, and I think it's great to be there all together as a family. And so, mm-hmm. If you know, it's a great problem to have if we have way more people interested in than they actually need. So, any other questions? Again, apologies, folks. I'm on my phone, so I can't see all of you simultaneously. Okay. I'd love to jump to our next topic, which is we wanted to ask all of you how the conversations are going with in-person gathering. I know based on talking to you, some of you are meeting in your groups together in person again. Others are still engaging it. Some haven't. Some of you are split where you're doing it sometimes and not other times. Just wanted to ask overall how those conversations are going.
I can share for our group. The conversations have gone really well. It seems like pretty much everyone's on board and wanting to meet in person again. The only thing that we've run into is we have a few people who aren't in town right now who are a part of our home group. And so we actually made the decision, even though people are comfortable meeting in person, we're still meeting virtually just to be able to include the people who aren't in town. And we're going to revisit that probably at the start of September. Some of the people you guys might know, the Makels who moved out to California, are still joining and needing community. And things are locked down out there, so they mm-hmm. aren't really able to meet people. Yeah. And then the Woodies are also quarantining in August because of their baby coming. So conversations have been good, but we're kind of doing a little hybrid of still meeting virtually for our home group time and then planning some, like, just if anyone wants to show up at the park for an hour on, like, off weeks, you can kind of socially distance, hang out at the park.
That's great, Veronica. I really like the spirit, the way you guys are approaching that, in the sense of how do we make the decision that's best for our entire group? And mm-hmm. I think that's the core of it.
Yeah, and people, we shared that last week, and people were on board, so it's good.
Awesome.
For
how about
us,
the rest of you guys, how the conversation's going?
Our group is really split, and so what we decided to do for home group, we're not meeting in person at all. We just have too many kids. It was way too complicated. But for D groups, for the women anyways, and I think the men, but in particular the women, we are switching back and forth. to try to accommodate people who really, really, truly prefer to meet in person, and then people who just aren't comfortable. And this past week, we had a situation come up where someone who was not comfortable on Zoom, but really wanted to share. And I, as a leader, I was really torn. Like, it seemed like she had something that she really needed to talk about. And so I thought about kind of breaking the rules and going in person to try to accommodate her. And another person was like, well, really, we said we're going back and forth to try to accommodate both people. And so we ended up meeting the way we were scheduled to and meet virtually. And then one of us reached out to her on the side, and she had said that she was comfortable waiting for 2 weeks until we met in person. But as a leader, I was torn about that. Like,
yeah,
is that the right thing to do? But that's what we decided to do because that's our plan, and we really do have a very split group.
And on the men's side of that, if I can just add, Kristen,
yeah,
we did a hybrid, as you know. So several of the guys met in person, several met on Zoom, and it allowed family members to share and be open. And as Kristen's saying, it seems complex and it's a little challenging to manage and walk, but I think we're doing the best we can with it.
These are hard decisions as leaders. I mean, it makes it hard because you want to do what's best for everybody. And in a situation like that where people are split, how do you love two people who have totally different needs or maybe opinions on what they want? So it is difficult. I mean, best case scenario, we've got everybody who has a certain preference in one group, but it's just not that clean.
Yeah.
So thanks for wrestling through that. We do want to be available to you guys if you find yourself in a really tricky spot to try and sort through which way should this go. Can accept responsibility for some of those decisions if it makes your life easier too.
Yeah, even in those moments where, Kristen, I think what you did was great. It sounds like good leadership, so well done. Mm-hmm. But if any of you are in that spot and you're like, I think I know the right plan, but you could use bouncing it off of someone else, we're always available to city staff. Or if you know other leaders, that's always a good option too, is just to give a call. Am I crazy if I offer this, or we hold to this plan, or, you know, is that not loving? And I think sometimes that's all you need is just a voice to say, you're good. You're not crazy. This is, you're still loving. Cause we all are experiencing the decision fatigue, especially when it's tied to leading people, and you're all leading, people in a lot of different ways and spaces that we've never had to ask you to do quite to this level. And it's just week after week. So we thank you all.
All right. Speaking of always being available, I got to go. Sarah, Marie, Jay, do you guys feel comfortable enough with do you remember the rest of the agenda items?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, friends.
Thanks, so good to Joel. See
you. Thanks for everybody joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Bye, Joel.
Another serving and ministry opportunity that we have coming up for families in Southeast Ann Arbor area is the Jingle Run. Chelsea, would you mind sharing with us about the Jingle Run?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we have the Jingle Run coming up this year virtually. we're excited. So it's not going to be at Gallup Park. However, it is going to be anywhere you want to run, walk, rollerblade, bike, whatever it is. So it will be all the proceeds will still support Scarlet Middle School as in years past. And it'll actually be July 25th, but instead of just one day, it's actually going to be the 12 days of Christmas. So it's going to be for 12 days. So it'll go from Saturday the 25th all the way through August 5th, that Wednesday. So it'll be 12 days, and you're able to do it as a family, and, you know, wear your colors. And so the registration, you can sign up on the jinglerun.org, and it's one of three options. You can get a shirt, you can get a medal, or you can have a call with the Mitten Santa. And so we're super excited about that. So last year we raised over $1,000 that we were able to use during the holiday season that provided food.
Thank you.
And gift cards to families at Scarlett Middle School. And this year we don't know what it's going to be different. It's our seventh year, but it's our first ever virtual. So we're, even though it's looking a little bit different, we're going to still keep it alive. So spread it to your, just spread it to your home groups, D groups, just encourage people to sign up and join. And we're going to have three pickup locations for those items. And if you do not want to pick something up, we can definitely arrange a different time where we drop it off to you. So those will be actually at the Arborland parking lot right by Potbelly's. And those are going to be on the 25th that morning. And then the morning before, or the night before, on the 24th, as well as July 30th. So, so there's been emails that have gone out. There'll be another email this week going out. So,
we're excited about it too, because it really opens up the door for people to participate from wherever they're at, whenever they would like to. And we also have an added fun component since we aren't going to be together. Where if you take a photo and tag the Jingle Run 5K, we'll enter you into a drawing for a $100 gift certificate from Running Fit.
Yeah.
Did you say out of staters you'll mail? Mm-hmm. You know, once you? Yeah.
Awesome.
This is cool.
So we put the link in the chat. What we could really use your help with is letting your group know that that's an opportunity, whether they're going to run, walk, bicycle, rollerblade, however you want to do it. We'd love to have you participate.
Question. I'm looking at it right now. I don't see that there's a place to just flat out donate, or to donate on top of your registration. Is there a way to do that?
Yeah. So if you go to the website, and then if you go to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link to the donate. That'll take you right to the Tithely site, and you'll be able to donate there.
Okay, so there's a drop down on the Tithely, like when it says general fund or what have you?
I don't know if there's a drop down there, but through the website there is, because I think it's like a separate little Tithely thing, even though it's still through Tithely. So
thank you.
Good job. Even if you just want to donate, so.
Should that be, Kristen, more clear, you think, on the website?
Let me go back. I didn't actually fully register yet, but I just kind of thought, I wanted to see how it would be, like, if I registered myself and then on top, or, I don't know.
That's a good thought. Thank you.
I don't think it's a bad idea to do it, add it to the registration, but if it's not how it's set up, then I'll just look a different place.
I'll ask Betsy to see if we can have a little button to say, would you like to donate, you know, more than just your registration? So thanks for that recommendation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I do see where it is on the main website too, but yeah, got it. Okay.
Awesome.
Chelsea, is there a Facebook page, do you know, or would we simply link the website off of our own existing New Life, or do you guys have a Facebook as well?
Yeah, so there's a Jingle Run Facebook page. This will also be on the New Life social media as well. So coming up here.
It's on the NLK Facebook group also, Steve. If you want to find it there, it'll link you to the Jingle Run Facebook page.
Sounds good.
Feel free to share that.
Yeah, promote and blast it through our social media stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for all your support, and we're just excited. We have no idea what this year is going to look like. So we'll see. We'll see how the virtual will go. So
thanks, Chelsea.
Yeah.
And as we talk about changing and adapting through this season of uncertainty, Melissa, would you mind giving us an update on how virtual VBS is going?
No, thank you, buddy. Yes, absolutely. Thanks. It is a joy to still continue to serve each of our families during this season. I don't think anyone truly thought it would go quite this long when we first started, but I just continue to feel aware of the Lord's blessing on our families, on our kids, his providence and love for each and every one of them, and meeting them exactly where they're at through a variety of different options this summer. We are having a great VBS. We have a little bit under 300 online participants between four different churches in Ann Arbor that are like largely represented, and we have a couple additional churches there as well. And we are starting tomorrow, will be week 4 of 5 for our online BBS with New Life Church, St. Paul, and St. Luke's. The Lord is definitely using this to bless families, and we've heard wonderful feedback about how kids, you know, it's definitely different for them not being at a VBS. And I'm sure each of you remember your VBSs that you attended and how big of an impact that makes on a young life. But we're still able to meet the families there. We haven't lost a VBS this summer. And that's just a huge win for the kingdom that I'm constantly grateful for. Nice things that are still available if you are still following along with us for VBS. You can watch everything back too. So if you miss a week or if you're out of town for a week, you can always catch up, and that content will continue to be available online past next Monday's week 5 release date. So you can watch that and participate and view that content at any time. Additionally, for our teens, we have been rolling out a 5-week summer Bible study for them. That is also on week 4 of 5. So the 5th one will come out next Monday. And that has been a 5-week Bible study series that I created using our curriculum for our teens. We send an email out every Monday with content for kids to read in the Bible, questions to consider and journal about throughout the week, and a video lesson that I made with thoughts and instruction and content for them. So that is also available online, and you can also watch it back retrospectively. So I'd love to encourage you guys, if you're not connected with either of those things, or if you know people in your communities, either in your home group settings, or even people who are not part of our church but are in your neighborhood, would be interested in either of those spaces. It's a really easy invite because all of that content is available online for you. Additionally, we're continuing to provide a lot of great things on our New Life Kids Facebook group for a variety of ages. Everything from parent resources to craft materials and ideas is pretty much a post every single day with something there. And you can search as well on that page through units and content that just, you know, covers a very wide range. We recently offered a couple different themes along, you know, justice and ways for families to engage with teenagers and kids on questions that are biblically based, but also help kids understand what is going on in the world around them and give them a space to respond to that. So again, those are also available for a variety of age levels. And so I just encourage you to take a look at that. If you have any interests or needs, that is a great place to go. The New Life Kids Advisory Team and myself are also doing an NLK call around this month. You may have gotten your call already, and you may be getting yours in the next week or two, where we're touching base with each family who's part of NLK, just to pray with them, reach out, ask if they have any needs. And it's been beautiful to see how just connecting with each one of them, the Lord has continued to produce fruit in our families. And I wanted to just share 3 really exciting things that I've heard from our families that have taken place in these last few weeks. Things that I did not expect maybe would happen. We have had one child in New Life Kids, part of one of our families, who got baptized at Gull Lake, which is amazing and wonderful and such a joy for the kingdom. And then through the online Sunday school 30-minute posting that we've shared every Sunday morning for kids to be watching, 2 weeks ago, we actually had 2 kids in our New Life Church who prayed to receive the Lord, invite him into their heart for the first time, and really just connected with that. So yeah, that is an amazing thing. Incredibly beautiful to see the Lord still reaping fruit there. And I want to just close by sharing a verse from Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." So for all of you, whether you are a parent or if you know parents, yeah, we see you. do not grow weary. The Lord is doing good and reaping fruit there. And please let me know how I can continue supporting each of you.
Thanks, Melissa. Let's continue on that trend and share some wins that you're seeing or experiencing in your groups or areas of ministry. What's the Lord been doing? How have you been seeing him move or influence the people that you minister to or your ministry areas? One for me is a woman who had not been coming to one of the groups that I lead for months and months, now that we've moved to virtual, has been coming almost every other week. She went through some hard things that I think were making it hard for her to feel like she could show up in person from a vulnerability or like shame standpoint, but the distance of the online meeting, she's felt comfortable to come and share and is reconnecting, and super grateful for how the Lord is moving in her life right now.
Sarah Marie, this is Warren. Actually, there's a couple of things where I've noticed, like, so kind of along those lines of switching to Zoom meetings, you know, for a few weeks, we had a lady from Las Vegas that actually joined our group. And maybe we shared this last time too, but she was a relatively new believer that was just looking to get plugged in, and she knew Melissa Chase somehow. Actually, I'm not even sure exactly how, but you know, seems super excited and a big contributor and you know, in discussions and everything. So, I mean, I think without, kind of funny, you know, ironically, without switching to that format, there's no way someone like that would have been able to join.
Yeah.
And I think there's been other things too. With, I think specifically for us, because logistically moving, you know, an army of kids around is never easy, but like, Sarah Scadding and I think, a few other members in our group have been really good about organizing and helping maintain a, so we meet on Thursday nights, but organizing a Tuesday night kids Zoom meeting where they go through a little study online and ask each other questions, and they take turns leading, you know, so like kids, you know, aging from, you know, 6 to 11 are leading and asking questions and talking through stuff. And that's stuff that like we really wouldn't have, I think, explored much without kind of being pushed to to the online meeting space. But yeah, you know, I think maybe we were planning on trying to get that kind of stuff rolling, you know, maybe even in our regular groups or outside our regular groups. But I think that, you know, it's definitely been a step, you know, that I think that it has pushed us to take. So I think that's been great.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Warren. And
yeah,
great job innovating.
Sarah Marie, can you repeat your question? I had you muted through part of it to talk to a kid.
Yeah, we would love to hear about wins that you're seeing in your groups or your areas of ministry, things that you see the Lord doing, and just sharing for the encouragement of the body. Could be in your group, could be outside your group.
For us, I don't know that I would go so far as to call it a win, just seeing that God is sustaining people through very, very difficult times, and that, you know, even though there's a lot of situations that can seem overwhelming, both in group and then just in other circles, that God is just sustaining people to be able to get to the next day and to continue to push through things, and to give people strength to endure. So wouldn't go so far as to call it a win, just seeing God working in that, to continue to provide and sustain and strengthen.
Yeah. Makes me think of the verse from Jude we studied last night, with him who is able to keep you from falling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing from my seat, looking at the whole church, that I think has been amazing to watch has been coming into the season, then especially continuing through the summer, just seeing how much the whole church has continued with home groups. We made a big push this last year in the campus to get to home groups and D groups, so we have like common language and common structure throughout the whole church. And then with the summer hitting, campuses wasn't able to do like the normal LT getaways to other states. So they decided, let's just keep going with home groups. It's meeting people's needs. It's doing what a lot of you said, you know, even like the Mockles in another state entirely, they're able to stay connected and stay in fellowship. And so we've seen that in the city too. In the city, once we get to summer, quite often groups will take a pause and then pick back up in the fall just because schedules and travel and everything else. And so to see all of you as leaders in all of our groups stay connected, stay committed to community has just been beautiful to watch. And I think it's been, from talking to other pastors and other churches, I just see the power and strength of what we have in our home groups, that it's meeting needs that a few staff or pastors in a church could never actually minister mm-hmm. to the level that people need in this season. But our structure and what all of you are doing and creating those spaces is just beautiful. I mean, it's caring for the body in a way that I think is healthy. It's beautiful, and it's across the board. And I just feel like that's a move of God. He led us, our whole church, into that before all of this even began. So.
Amen. We're going to spend our last 10 minutes just on general Q&A. So while you're thinking about your questions, I wanted to let you know that the next Thrive Monthly is coming up on July 25th at 9:30 in the morning on Zoom. And recent grad Joya Yaki will be sharing with us. So that's open to any woman who's high school aged or older. And you'll be getting a RSVP link if you're already on the Thrive list through that, and if you're not, through the bulletin. And feel free to share that with women in your group, or have your men share it with their spouses or girlfriends and things like that. Every woman is wanted and welcomed. All right, what questions do you have for us? Could be you want to hear from other groups what resources they've been using. Might be logistical, problem solving. Take these 10 minutes and let's rely and learn from one another.
I have a question for other groups if they've tried this. We were brainstorming on how to possibly have like a hybrid group where some people could join virtually and other people could be in person at the same time. And really just all of our ideas, we didn't like any of them. And I'm just wondering if anyone else has tried that and if it worked, if you had any like input or lessons learned from trying it.
In our group, we'd been in kind of the unique situation of having done mixed and meeting virtually for a little bit prior to the shutdown, just because we had a little bit kind of a baby boom in our group. So people were not always able to meet in person, you know, with a newborn. For us, it had worked pretty well. And kind of met the needs of both of our members who, you know, needed to just, who didn't want to be traveling with a newborn yet or feel comfortable doing that. But still needed the community and needed people to pray and needed to be able to bow out when needed. But then also, you know, it allowed them to, you know, once they're getting a little bit more comfortable with things, to maybe host D group, and then, you know, with the understanding that they could disappear to care for baby as needed, but still get that in-person fellowship. It's a pretty boring logistical thing, but one of the things is that it can be more, I noticed it was definitely more challenging for people meeting virtually to kind of abide regardless of child's whether they had a newborn or not. Is that even for those that were meeting virtually, not because of child care issues, there was a definite tendency to be more flexible with arrival times, coming in and out. And so that has just been a challenge of, you know, I understand if babies' needs come up, and that's totally fine. But for different group members who are not in that situation, it was just kind of communicating, like, you know, it's still important to be courteous of, you know, not necessarily just dropping in and out all the time throughout the same session. So that was kind of just a little unremarkable D-group management thing that came up.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that.
When our women's group does hybrids, we just kind of set the expectation that we'll be together as a large group for like the first hour, and then we split into small groups. Like if we're doing a Bible study, we might do some large group discussion, but then we'll just split, and then the in-person people have their discussion, and then the virtual people have their discussion. And I think that's been really helpful, just to make that split clear and helpful, because sometimes we were getting like feedback and like outside birds, and like the virtual people were like, oh my gosh, my head is hurting like from hearing like these high-pitched noises and stuff. But I think like that is something that really has helped the hybrid. Like we're still getting the large group input all together, but then making the split into like a smaller group. And we just have a leader that we make sure is on, like a co-leader who is on the virtual side as well. I don't know if that's helpful, but just to think like if you have doing hybrid, then to like split at some point into the virtual group and the larger group or the in-person group.
I think that's a super intriguing idea, especially Kelsey, your women's group is the size of some home groups right now because of how prolific you all invite and share the gospel. Yeah. So it'd be cool to know if other people try that out and genuinely do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. I know that one thing that can be challenging when I've navigated groups of in-person and online or even just meetings has been to address the online people first, or like tell them, hey, we're going to go around, and you know, if John's online, John, we're going to come to you last, or that way they're not sitting there wondering when do I jump in, or you just start with them. You say, hey, I'm going to go, and then I'm going to go straight to you, John. That way it's like they get a chance to speak into if there's a question. Because those can be the moments of like, when do they go? So just letting them know, telling them when to go, I think helps.
Thanks for your thoughts, everyone, on that question. It's really helpful.
I have a question. Can I ask Sarah Marie?
Absolutely.
I was intrigued by this. I was reading in a book and it was just talking about incorporating worship into small group settings. So home groups, D groups, and it was getting beyond just the music and thinking through like, have you putting a rhythm in place in a group to do that, where you could do music. It could be you listen to a song together. It could be you read a prayer that's someone's written out of history. It could be going through a Psalms. creating some moment of reflection of worship that's literally there to like worship, like let's be in awe and reflect on who God is. And I just wonder if any of you guys, gals, have been doing that. Is that a part of your groups? Have you experimented, and how has it gone, especially now that we're in a digital environment?
Chows or Swishers, would you like to share about that? I think you guys have musical worship every week. But I think you're both wrangling kids as well. There is one home group that Joel and I attended that does liturgy at the beginning and end. Was that Nate? Was that your group? Nope, neither Nate. It must have been Jack.
That's our group.
Yeah. Veronica, would you mind sharing about that?
Yeah. So Jack actually wrote them, but we share it's like less than 1 minute, a 1 minute liturgy to like enter into that time and then to kind of like set our hearts and our minds on Jesus and to kind of prepare ourselves for home group and then use it to like close out the time. And I will say that it was a lot better in person. It's kind of hard to read a liturgy together via Zoom because everyone's off.
Yeah.
But I think I personally just believe that the Lord uses it and it matters, but it's definitely challenging to do a liturgy over Zoom.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is Warren again, and I think Gene or Steve is also on, but like, sorry, it was the breakfast rush. We have done like a online Zoom communion, worship and communion, and I think it went fairly well. I mean, there's a little bit of that, like, I think I feel this a little bit in the service where like, it's not quite the same, right? Like it's not, you're still worshiping and you're still kind of together, but it's not exactly the same. It seemed to go pretty well though. I mean, I think it went as well as it could have. Everyone had their own little like elements prepared and everything, but I don't know if it's like awkward for the worship leader to just be out there with no feedback, you know, or no audience per se. But I mean, we've done that and I think it went well, but like I said, it's not quite the same though.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, Warren, this is Steve. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not the same, right? But it's something. So I think it's worth trying again and continuing if you thought it was okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome, and I think the effort and the and to do it, I think is great. But yeah, there's. I didn't know if it was awkward for you for the music, but
I mean, yeah, I think the surprise was that Jean also being with me was not really prepared to be, you know, more performing, and she was like, "Oh yeah. Man, yeah, I gotta prep her a little bit more. We maybe have to practice together." So, yeah, thanks.
Thanks for your questions and sharing. Would two of you volunteer to close us in prayer today? Jay?
Okay.
Kristen, thank you.
Lord, we thank you for the time we had today. We thank you for the efforts of the city team in leading us and meeting us well and all of the planning that goes into this crazy time we're in. So we just pray that you bless their efforts, bless our church, bless our cohesiveness as a church. Thank you for the work that you're doing with the home groups and the D groups, and pray that that continues to flourish and stay strong. And we just lift up our leaders to you. Pray that you bless them and bless us in our these efforts.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lord, we thank you that you are in charge and sovereign over all things. Lord, we know that while this pandemic caught most of the world by surprise, Lord, you knew what was coming. You're still at work through it. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide and direct all of us as we lead in various ways, and especially with our groups, Lord. Would you give us wisdom, Lord, that we can come alongside you in how you're at work in all the people who are in our groups, Lord. We pray that they would be vibrant, that you would continue to reproduce. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use these circumstances in this season just to strip away things that are actually distractions and pull us away from you, Lord. Would we have a growing desire and longing and a thirst for you, Lord, in the midst of this season? And Lord, would we, in each of our groups, engage with your presence, experience your presence, Lord, and long just to be in your presence. Lord, we want to be worshipers of you. And Lord, I pray that especially with so much unknown in the future, Lord, that our hope that's rooted in you, anchored in you, and even in looking at uncertainty, knowing all that you have already done for each and every one of us and in history, Lord, that gives us the sure hope that you're with us and for us going ahead. I pray that that would be a light to those around us, Lord, that we wouldn't be shaken in the midst of the circumstances in the world. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to provide for all those who are in our midst. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear those around us and where we can meet people's needs. And Lord, we just thank you that you are in charge of your church, that we are not left alone, that your spirit is with us. And we ask that you would continue to guide and direct in all that we do. And Lord, we want to bring glory to your name and have more people know who you are. We pray that you would help us accomplish that even in the midst of this crazy world right now. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We are back together either on 8/2 or 8/16. We'll get you that date as soon as we know. We've just got some traveling people getting married in August that has put some questions into when this meeting will be, but it'll be 8/2 or 8/16. And city staff is always available to you for any care, shepherding, support, cheering on that you could need. So thank you for being here. We look forward to being together again in August.